Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Thursday. We've got football tonight. Giants and the Washington football team live in Los Angeles. It is the Herd. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1, 1 hour from now. I get so many compliments when he's on our show. Greg Cosell, next 20 weeks, Thursdays, top of the second hour, really gives you an incredibly objective look at the league and what to expect if you play fantasy football, if you bet football, or you just love the schematics of it and what's really happening on film for somebody who for decades has just looked at film. 1 hour from now, Greg Cosell. Joy Taylor is joining me. You know, yesterday I was walking around and somebody came up to me, Joy, and they're like, you don't think this urban thing's going to happen. And I said, the Urban Meyer to USC.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm wide open on this. I think it's the biggest hire in college football, Denver West, in a decade with all the TV contracts. And I said, but what if he wins this week? Well, that won't happen. And I said, you really don't, when you get humiliated the following week, professional athletes play well. I said, what if he wins this week? Then he would not be interested at all?
Well, I think it's kind of comical that because he lost one NFL game, that now all of a sudden it's an actual conversation that he would leave his NFL job and move across the country and coach USC. I think it's kind of preposterous.
I don't know how much he's making, but I think he signed a 4-year, $10 to $12 million a year. You don't walk away from that.
There's actually, I think, less pressure on Urban in Jacksonville than there would be at USC.
Completely true. Then nobody thinks Jacksonville is a complete, utter rebuild outside a wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean, if he can get them stable, that's a massive accomplishment.
If he won 4 games this year and 7 next year, he would be coming back for a third year. And we all know he's going to be pretty good in the drafting thing because he recruited all these kids. But it's funny. I do want to talk about it. I'm crying no tears for Urban Meyer. But I saw this story yesterday, and all the coverage was just boo-hoo-hoo. Cowboys defensive end DeMarcus Lawrence, and he's their best defensive player, I think, easily. He's going to miss 2 months. And I saw a lot of these comments. It was, oh, this is gutting. It's a terrible break. I can't, but it's not a terrible break. It's called the NFL. You paid Dak Prescott $40 million. This cannot be an obstacle. Patrick Mahomes this weekend did not have Frank Clark nor Honey Badger, and he beat an excellent Cleveland team. Tom Brady last year didn't have Vita Vea, who looks like the best nose tackle in the sport. He didn't have him for most of the year. Didn't have Chris Godwin, it felt like, in September and October. Didn't have his top tight end, O.J. Howard. And it was a pandemic. He didn't have a preseason. They won the Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers, I can be critical of him, 6 times in his career has not had Devontae Adams. I could make an argument, second or third best receiver in the league. Aaron Rodgers is 6-0 without Devontae Adams. Russell Wilson has been losing players off the defensive side for 4 years, the Legion of Boom. And he keeps winning 12 games a year. You pay a quarterback $40 million. When you sit down and decide, all right, we're going to go all in on the quarterback, there's 2 or 3 things you got to think about. One, is he mature enough to handle it? With Dak, check. You know, is he a grown-up? Is he an adult? Are we putting our billion-dollar franchise, in the Cowboys' case, a $10 billion franchise maybe, are we putting our money into somebody who is aligned with our values and belief system? Dak, check. Okay, is he capable of overcoming obstacles, otherwise known as the National Football League? Well, this is an obstacle. This is it. This is not crazy. This is exactly what everybody faces in this league. DeMarcus Lawrence averaged 6-7 sacks a year. He had 6.5 last year. The Las Vegas line moved 0.5 point. The minute you get the bag in the NFL, and I'm happy for Dak. There's a lot of things I like. But the minute you get the bag, you get the blame. DeMarcus Lawrence, an injury is not, that doesn't matter. That's why you pay a quarterback $40 million. They can miss Frank Clark, O.J. Howard, Honey Badger. That's that. Otherwise, I've said this about Baker Mayfield. Can he play trailing? Can he make throws late? He's not the same quarterback. So to me, that's not a $40 million a year quarterback. Jameis Winston this weekend. Jameis Winston has been living out of a hotel for 2.5 weeks. He doesn't have Michael Thomas. He got a quarterback, Taysom Hill, breathing down his throat. He faced the Packers, blew him out. Okay. Lamar Jackson lost his entire backfield. This isn't gutting. It's not a bad break. This is a league of regulated violence. Losing your top defender. I mean, let's be honest. They've added a game. You can lose your top defender often in preseason. Lamar Jackson lost his backfield in the preseason. So the line barely moved, if at all, for Dak Prescott. Get the bag, you get the blame. And by the way, you know, this I criticized the Cowboys for years, all their Ritz-Carlton facilities. If the NFL was a hotel, there'd be a leak on the second floor and flooding on the third floor. It is a league of constant stress, of constant anxiety, of regulated chaos. That is the league, and you pay guys $40 million to overcome it. If you need a perfect grooved runway for the plane to take off, you're not built to win big in this league. So San Francisco Niners, 49ers, this is a very interesting to me. And, you know, there's this sense in the NFL that basically Jimmy Garoppolo is just little more than a valet for Kyle Shanahan. He's just handling his bags. Very replaceable. But Jimmy Garoppolo was willing to go on KNBR, that's the big stick in the Bay Area, it's a big popular radio station, and acknowledge this going back and forth stuff with Trey Lance, it ain't great.
We had a good drive, marched it down there, Kyle called the package, and you know he's the head coach, so whatever he calls goes. Just one of those things, you can only control what you can control. You know, I'm out there with my boys, making the best of it, having a good time, and you know, at the end of the day, we're playing football, trying to get a win, so whatever it takes, but it is what it is, you know?
Making the best of it. That's what you say on vacation when the airline and the hotel screwed you. That's what teachers said about the last year with their kids with COVID. The school's closed. We're making the best of it. This vacation, we're 5 days in. We're making the best of it. It means this isn't good. COVID was tough on parents. That's an airline. That's a vacation you're trying to overcome. And it's very interesting. There's three quarterbacks in this league, only three that I can think of, that win a lot of games, have won playoff games, and we don't like them. Kirk Cousins, Jared Goff, and Garoppolo. Kirk Cousins, we feel he shrinks. He does. Goff, we feel he turns the ball over way too much. He does. Garoppolo can't stay healthy. That's true. But what is interesting here is Garoppolo, unlike Goff and Kirk Cousins, has a little leverage. Number one, this is the best division, I think, easily in the NFL. Trey Lance is not ready. Not ready. He's played one football game as a starter the last 600 days. Trey Lance is not ready to win this division. The second thing he's got going for him, which is pretty obvious, is that Kyle Shanahan has a losing record in the NFL as a head coach without Jimmy Garoppolo. And it's not hovering around 500. It's awful. And number three is, this is a Super Bowl roster. So let's not screw around here. This is not the Bears where it's a lost season, right, by week seven. Jimmy Garoppolo yesterday pushed back. To say that, big radio show in the Bay Area, I'm making the best of it. I'm going to go public with it. I think Jimmy Garoppolo, I've always thought he's a little better than everybody thinks. And in this instance, I think he's got a lot more leverage than everybody thinks. The Rams, Seahawks, and the wildly improving Arizona Cardinals give Garoppolo leverage. You cannot start Trey Lance right now in this division. Greg Olson was on our show yesterday, and he said, you know, sometimes you just got to pick a quarterback and pick a lane and go with that.
You know, I think what the number one thing you have to do is you got to pick one guy. I think if you as an organization, right, they see a lot that we don't see. And the fans there, they're passionate. They believe Justin Fields is their future. And I don't blame them, right? If I was living in Chicago and I'm trying to finally get back to our glory days, it starts at the quarterback, I'd want Justin Fields to play too. If you want a guy to play, they've got to either be in, or if you don't want him to play, they got to be out. Like, I just don't love the whole back and forth thing, sprinkling in a play here and there. I think they need to commit one way or another.
By the way, Chicago is not a great team anyway. The Niners potentially are. And by the way, in that game Sunday, the special teams for the Niners unraveled late. The defense for the 49ers unraveled late. You know what didn't? Jimmy Garoppolo, passer rating over 100. Yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo did not unravel. It was Kyle Shanahan's defense and Kyle Shanahan's special teams that unraveled. Your quarterback says, I'm making the best of it. Maybe you want to go with him, give him a little more credit, give him a few more snaps. I'm not anti-quarterback here. I'm not anti-young quarterback. I'd said, I think I'd start Justin Fields this week. But the Niners are different. The Niners are different. This division's different. The opposition's different. Trey Lance is not Justin Fields right now. He's not. He's not that formed, that refined yet. Coming up, you know, I say on this show all the time, I've got to be willing. Fans tend to have an opinion, and they see it as a weakness if they change their opinion. It's flip-flop. I look at it the opposite. My job is to give you opinions based on the most current information. Kind of, I always said, kind of feel like a stockbroker. I got new information, insider trading. I don't like the stock. I want my stockbroker to give me the opinion that may be different than 2 months ago based on his information. I want my pilot, when he has his flight plan, if it changes 5 minutes before takeoff because of turbulence in a storm, I want him to change. My surgeon, if there's any new procedures available to save me or my kids, I am for changing opinions every day if you have new information. A lot of the anti-vaxxers out there, they're like, well, I see something new out here. There's new information. So often the most rigid people, I will not get one, actually love people changing their protocols based on new information, right? Like, well, masks don't work, or they do work. This whole COVID thing is, you know, you can't be too rigid, right? We're getting new stuff. It's interesting. There's a player in the NFL that I think he's talented, but I didn't think he was a good fit at all for his team. But we've got new information, new data in Cleveland. I think I'm wrong. That next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Faherty, founded by twin brothers, family business, best-looking clothes, lifetime guarantee for Herd listeners. 20% off now. Go to FahertyBrand.com/Herd. FahertyBrand.com/Herd. So I always feel that the show is better if I'm willing, with new information and new data, to change my opinion. I do 3 hours a day. I've got strong opinions on stuff I see, but I do think I owe the audience the willingness to move off stuff if we get in new information. I've said this with my pilots, with my surgeons, you know, with my stockbrokers. I don't care if you flip-flop. What's the new stuff? And I never thought Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham was a good fit. My takeaway was Odell was such a Paris, New York, LA star that putting him with Baker Mayfield, who would be easily influenced by this star, was not necessarily good. It would be like Dak and Dez, where Dez literally wanted the ball now, and I want my young quarterbacks to sprinkle the ball around and not feel beholden to get it to their star. And whereas a Tom Brady can tell a star receiver, shh, I'll do what I want to do. Aaron Rodgers can do that. Russell Wilson can say, my club. It's very hard for a Dak at 21 or a Baker at 21 to have a global star come in, get me the ball. And numbers indicated that Baker sometimes was better when Odell didn't play, because he would not, he would sprinkle the ball around. And Baker's better when he throws to the right receiver, doesn't break the huddle thinking about, I got to get it to my star receiver. And so that was kind of my takeaway on that move Odell Beckham. And get, you know, fix some other part of your front seven defensively. I don't love the linebacking core for Cleveland. I said last year I didn't like the secondary at all, but they've already patched up the secondary and they did draft a linebacker, so those aren't urgent needs. And so my takeaway is we know Odell's a world-class wide receiver talent when healthy, which he's often not. But under Stefanski, there is this sense, most people, myself included, are kind of putting Cleveland in that top 8-9 team in the NFL that could win the Super Bowl, right? We're all doing this. But to win Super Bowls now, you got to score points. Even Nick Saban acknowledges, my defenses can't stop the best offenses. And that's in college, where you could get, you know, 25 first-round picks a year in recruiting. In the NFL, you start looking at the teams that are winning Super Bowls, it's not the Ray Lewis defenses that are winning these Super Bowls. It's Mahomes. It's Brady. Look at the teams that are winning their division. It's quarterbacks. It's offenses that can not only control the clock, but they can strike quickly. That's why Buffalo goes out and gets Stephon Diggs. Strike quick. We're already good. Let's get an over-the-top component. So Stefanski comes in. He's obviously a very smart guy and a very good coach. And Baker's clearly capable of starting. Not my cup of tea, but he's capable. So we've had now, if you go back to when Odell Beckham got hurt, which was the beginning of Game 7 of last year. So let's not count Game 7 because the game plan did include Odell Beckham. Let's start the following week. Week 8 until last week's loss. This is what Baker Mayfield is with no OBJ. And this is with the coach of the year. With the offensive line of note in the AFC. With the best running tandem. 12 games, 7-5. 63%, that's not amazing in this day and age. 15 touchdown passes in 12 games. Passer rating is solid, 96. We're giving Cleveland this sense of they're here. They really miss an over-the-top component. They've got very few big play players now. They can control the clock. They can control the tempo. They did against the Chiefs for a half. This is not a criticism. Baker is now not turning the ball over. It's a very smartly schemed, highly competent, very functional offense without a lot of pop. And I know we're giving them all this credit for beating Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh was a mess at the end of last year. Pittsburgh offensively, you saw them this past weekend, is still a mess. They can't run the ball. They needed a block punt. So I look at this offense now and I'm like, you're not getting past Kansas City. You're not getting past Seattle, DK Metcalf. You're not getting past Buffalo, who's got Stephon Diggs. You're not getting past Tampa Bay. They need OBJ. Baker's got 12 games, 15 touchdown passes. That is just not good enough with the game, the rules, the regulations, the star receivers, the Tyreek Hill, the Stephon Diggs, Lamar Jackson's explosiveness. The AFC's now, Justin Herbert looks like he is ready to make a big run. So my opinion is I've got this big sample size without OBJ. And I'm like, well, now you have a legitimate head coach. Now Baker, you know, is more mature. I think they need OBJ. Change my mind. This offense is getting all this credit. You cannot win in this league without over-the-top stuff. For the record, that is why the Rams in the offseason, what did they do? They looked at themselves and they said, we're winning 10 games. But we don't have any Mahomes to our offense. We don't get anything easy. Goff doesn't do anything over the top. They get Stafford. They had 2 50-plus yard plays with Stafford first week. They had 2 all last year. So the Rams looked at it. And the Rams, much like Cleveland, we got a good O-line. We have competent quarterback. We can make defensive stops. We can control the clock. We love our young head coach, offensive coach. But the Rams went, yeah, but we don't get any cheap touchdowns. We don't get any. Odell gives you cheap touchdowns. 3 or 4 reverses, deep, after the catch. So I've changed my mind. I think they need Odell Beckham. Joy with the news.
Colin, that's not what you were saying before.
But there was new data.
Well, you were just talking about the Steelers. Ben Roethlisberger is only 2 years removed from having surgery to reconstruct his elbow. And it was a tough fought game against the Bills.
It was.
And he was very optimistic about how the elbow held up. He said, it feels great. Probably the only part of my body that felt good when I came out of the game. That's encouraging and positive.
He did kind of look old, though, did he not?
You know, he looked he looked good in preseason. And I think that's kind of one of those things. It's like, how much do we take from what someone looks like in preseason?
Yeah.
He was 18 of 32 for 188 yards and one touchdown, but the story to me was the running game. Obviously, I like the Najee Harris pick. They had to take a running back.
Yeah, I get that.
And I like Najee Harris. We had 16 carries for 45 yards and averaged 2.8 yards per carry. That's not going to get it done in the AFC North. They're going to need a lot more from their run, because what you don't want to is get into a situation like they were last year, where they were asking Ben to throw it like 50 times a game because they couldn't get anything
Right now they have the least explosive offense in that division. Chase Claypool's great, but Cleveland's got a great run game in O-line. Lamar Jackson's remarkably explosive. And Joe Burrow and those receivers can move the chains.
I think Joe's just accepted, like, I'm going to get hit a couple times a game, and I'm just going to sit in the pocket and throw it down there.
Now, Pittsburgh's got the best front seven, arguably, in the league. That's how they're going to win games. They're like Dallas. I kind of feel like Pittsburgh can win one way. Disrupt your offense, block a punt, get a fumble. They're so disruptive. I think Dallas can win one game. Shootouts.
They're going to have to rely on their defense, and I always have questions about teams like that, because we talk about defense a lot in the postseason, and it is important, but you got to score points too.
Yeah.
So they play the Raiders this week, and the Steelers are favored by 6, according to Fox Bet.
I'm not going to give it away, but this game is my number one pick this weekend in the NFL.
Ooh. I think I'm taking the Raiders and the points in that game. So the Ravens and Chiefs will meet this weekend for the fourth time, with both Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes as the starters. Kansas City has been successful in all of the previous games, but Lamar isn't looking back at the past losses. He's only focusing on this game on Sunday.
It's not about, you know, me and Mahomes, not to me, you know, probably to everyone else, but, you know, it's the Ravens versus Kansas City Chiefs. They did beat us, you know, 3 times or whatever, but that's in the past. But I'm not dwelling on those losses. You know, we coming Sunday night, and we're going to play.
This is a very big game for the Ravens.
Well, you know, Mahomes is 3-0 against Baker Mayfield, but the game was competitive. So it's not like they've blown the Ravens out 3 times. This is a very good game, and eventually, like, first of all, there's no great indignity losing if you're Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes.
No, but it's not indignity, but do you want to start the season 0-2?
No. This is one of these stay-away-from-me games, because the trend is Kansas City wins it, but
they're favored by 3.5.
I think you have to contextualize Baltimore's loss in Vegas. I think it was an incredibly difficult game for Baltimore. Literally, you lost your backfield. That place was a zoo. First game in Vegas. Let's be honest. We've never seen the Raiders D-line in 3 years play like that.
No.
It felt like an aberration.
It was an outlier game. I can agree with that. But I don't want to start the season 0-2 if I'm the Ravens.
Yeah.
So they did lose a lot. We know that. But you can only put so much nuance in the situation before it starts to become a little urgent. I'm not saying that the Ravens are out of the playoffs or anything. There's no panic. And the Chiefs are a tough opponent. But I think this is a pretty big game for the Ravens. So week 2 kicks off tonight with a matchup between the Giants and the Washington football team.
The Giants have, I think, controlled this series last 5 years. I if you could look it up, it feels like the Giants have been beating Washington consistently for the last several years.
Well, they're going to be without some important pieces tonight. Evan Engram, offensive guard Shane Lemieux, and linebacker Cam Brown are all out due to injury. Saquon Barkley did see the field in week 1 following his ACL injury, but he's listed as questionable. Joe Judge said the plan is for him to get some playing time. Saquon had 10 carries for 26 yards in the game against Denver. So Evan Engram also missed week 1 due to the calf injury. So they were without him week 1 as well, but they are going to be without him for this game and some other players as well, as I just mentioned. Washington's favored by 3.5, according to Fox Bet. I think I'm taking Washington in this game, mostly because they have an incredible defense and Giants offensive line is
questionable. I watched the entire Chargers-Washington game, and it really magnified something. Justin Herbert is a remarkable player, a remarkable young player. And I think that Washington front is going to unravel a lot of teams. But between Herbert's brilliance and Rashawn Slater, the left tackle rookie who dominated Chase Young in college at Northwestern and week 1, is that I think my takeaway on that game was a lot of teams would have lost that week one game. The Chargers won it. I'll still make an argument that Washington will win this division.
I'm still going with the Cowboys, but the Giants, you are right about that. They have won five straight.
They've won five straight.
Yes.
Yeah, Giants have controlled this series. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line.
So
news.
I think I've always said I owe the audience the ability to change an opinion, even if it's a strong one, if I get new information. And I said, I think Odell Beckham over the last 12 games, I look at Cleveland's offense, and I don't think you can be a Super Bowl team without some cheap touchdowns, some Ram touchdowns this past week. Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, one-play drives. Peter King is joining us, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing, NBCSports.com. So Odell Beckham will not play this week. But Peter, I went back in 12 games and I looked at all the data, and I'm like, Cleveland's everything. But they don't get any freebies. They don't get a lot of over-the-top stuff. And I do that. A year ago, I was on move him. I don't think he works in Cleveland. And today I'm like, I think he's the missing piece for this offense. Your thoughts on when he comes back for them?
Well, Colin, you know, it's been now 10 months and a week or two since he's had that surgery. I'm surprised he didn't play in week one. I'm surprised he didn't play in week two, or he's not going to play in week two. All along, you've heard what a superb rehab this is, and he's doing fantastic in rehab. And look, it's impossible to tell what happens in anybody's particular rehab. Odell relies so much on his quickness, and I'm sure that that has a lot to do with the length of time it's taking for him to come back. Joe Burrow had a torn ACL, torn MCL, and a torn meniscus, and he's back a month earlier, more than a month earlier, as it turns out. And look, quarterback is a different position than wide receiver, so you really don't know. But all I'm saying is that, to me, the Cleveland Browns are built on a great running game and a passing game that they need to be explosive. And you're right, they need to have Odell Beckham Jr. to be at their absolute max. But Colin, Odell Beckham Jr. is simply not a durable football player.
True.
That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
You just look at his history. So, you know, they better learn to live without him, and they better learn to, you know, maybe highlight Donovan Peoples-Jones a little bit more. I'm of the opinion right now, if you line up every wide receiver in football right now, in my top 10 easily would be Jarvis Landry.
Yes. Yeah.
He is so important. He makes so many plays. He's such a physical and emotional presence on that team. And I understand that Odell Beckham Jr. is incredibly explosive and valuable, but you got to be on the field to be a great player.
Generally in the NFL, if you screw up your first team, it doesn't necessarily work well. Drew Brees is obviously the all-time great exception. Darnold's hoping he gets a reboot and it works with Matt Rule. He certainly has weapons. Joy and I have talked about this with Jameis Winston. The first sign that I thought it could work is he lost weight. And I said, okay, That's for a pro athlete. Like, Jameis is committing now. He didn't take a salary and he lost weight. And I'm like, all right, so he's changing his body and he's changing his bank account. That feels like grown up moves to me. You talk to him after that win. I do think he has a chance to be kind of reborn in this league as a quarterback. And the second version is better than the first version. I think it's better than 50% odds. What did he tell you after week one?
Well, better than the first version. If it wasn't, he'd be selling cars in Tampa. I mean, you know, he doesn't have a future in football if he's leading the league in interceptions over a five-year period, so which he did in his first iteration. And you're right. Colin, I think this is very simple, very simple. On Super Sunday last year, Jameis Winston sat in his house in Tampa, and he watched his team with his teammates win the Super Bowl only with a different quarterback in Tom Brady. That hurt, and it hurt a lot. And so he has been determined that he is going to make this right in New Orleans. And there's one other thing. When he got on the team bus in Jacksonville before that game on Sunday, he stopped at in the front row and looked over at Sean Payton and said, "I've dreamed of this day my whole life." And okay, you're saying, well, that's a little cornball, but think of it. He grows up in the viewing area of the New Orleans Saints. He's in middle school, eighth grade, I think, when Drew Brees signs to play quarterback in New Orleans. All through high school, every Sunday, he turns on the TV. There's the Saints laying waste to everybody in the NFL. And he just thought to himself, if I could only ever be a quarterback in an offense like that. And now, with Sean Payton in his prime, needing a quarterback post-Drew Brees, he signs Jameis Winston. And so Jameis Winston says, I need to do everything in my power to make this right. That's why I agree with you. I think it has a good chance, look, to work. Parcells once said, they don't sell insurance for stuff in this game. And so you don't know. It's one game. You just simply don't know. But it was a very good first sign for him.
You know, Jimmy G yesterday went on a very popular radio station and in San Francisco and said, I'm making the best of it in regards to the Trey Lance comes in, series here, series there. Mark Sanchez and Greg Olson came on my show in the last 2 days and said, it's really brutal. It's really hard to do this. You don't know when it's coming. When's Justin Fields, Trey Lance? But we know the Bears are not a Super Bowl team, so I'm more supportive of experimentation, let the kid play. But in San Francisco, this is a great division. I don't think Trey Lance can win this division. Kyle Shanahan has a lousy record without Garoppolo. Garoppolo was very good Sunday. He didn't evaporate late. The special teams did, and the defense did. And I thought it was a real telling comment to say in a popular local station in San Francisco, I'm making the best of it. And I thought, you know, is Jimmy a little better than we give him credit for? Does he have a little more leverage here in the NFC West than we give him credit for? Your thoughts?
You know, you say that he's got a lousy record without Jimmy Garoppolo, and he does. But, Colin, you know, there's a little bit of a difference with Mullins and Beathard and Trey Lance. So, to me, that's not really fair to say. He's never had a quarterback like Trey Lance on his roster. And that's one of the reasons why the 49ers were smart to not trade. I'm glad they didn't get an offer of a first-round pick for Jimmy Garoppolo because I don't think they should have traded him. All along, they have wanted depth at the quarterback position. They have it. And, you know, look, Jimmy just has to – he's just got to take it. You know, when you say he doesn't have any – or when you say he's got a little leverage, and maybe he does, my point right now is that Kyle Shanahan, I believe – is pretty sure he can win with Trey Lance. But, and this is how he wants to play it. If you're Jimmy Garoppolo, you've missed an awful lot of time with two major injuries, and you just have to, I think you just have to take it. You really don't have any alternatives other than to simply take it.
I thought one of the more impressive wins of the weekend was a rookie coach and Justin Herbert with a brand new offensive line go to Washington, Ron Rivera, very good defensive coach, great defensive front, and win late. Herbert was 74% on third downs. I watched the entire game, every snap, and I was kind of taken back. I'm like, that is a way tougher win than a lot of people think. There was a lot of new stuff. New coach, new coordinator, new offensive line, best defensive line in football. I don't know. I kind of sat back and I said, we're going to look at that game in about a month and go, that ended up being, because I think Washington's going to blow through New York tonight. What did you make of the Chargers opening week?
Really quality win. And I think, hey, Colin, think of this for a second. 5 years ago this week, like 5 years ago today, 5 years, Brandon Staley was the defensive coordinator at John Carroll in the Ohio Athletic Conference, and he's getting ready to play a game against Baldwin Wallace, okay? That's how far this guy has come, and now you're seeing he is basically to defenses in the NFL that he has gone to. He now is essentially what Sean McVay was to the Rams offense. Remember,
yeah,
you know, coaches and people inside the Rams when they could sense that he really wasn't happy with Wade Phillips, meaning Sean McVay. They told him, go find yourself a good young coach who you can build with. Now, it only lasted 1 year, but Brandon Staley, his defensive coordinator, you know, basically orchestrated the number one defense in football. And now, if he has good health with Derwin James and Nick Bosa, or Joey Bosa, excuse me, if they both stay healthy, the Chargers will be minimum a top five defense and maybe number one.
Peter King, NBCSports.com. Great seeing you, Peter. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Colin.
You bet. Best performance in a losing effort this weekend. I think it'll surprise you next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jersey Mike's has a new grilled portobello mushroom and Swiss sub. It's delicious. Try it. Fresh ingredients make a sub above. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. So, you know, if you lose in the NFL, you're a bum. If you win, you're great. But there are moments where you add some context to it. Who lost as a quarterback this weekend? But you look at it and think, wow, that was impressive. Look at what Mac Jones did this weekend. So Mac Jones completed 74% of his passes, 102.6 passer rating, one sack, no picks. That is against Brian Flores, and they're excellent corners. Here's what Brian Flores did to opposing quarterbacks last year. So Brian Flores, with a healthy defense, it's week one, and weeks, not a week to prepare, weeks to prepare. Last year, Brian Flores held quarterbacks to 63% completion percentage. Mac was at 74. Passing yards a game, last year Flores holds him to 250. Mac, with I would say a suboptimal receiving core, 280. Passer rating, Flores holds him to 87. Mac at 102.6. Remember this. Last year, Mahomes had three picks against Brian Flores. Jared Goff had a quarterback rating of 65. Those are Super Bowl quarterbacks. So for Mac Jones to come in, all new pieces, new playbook, new team, didn't get all the snaps in the preseason, was named a starter late, goes up against arguably, after Belichick, take Belichick out, arguably the best defensive coach in the league. Vic Fangio's up there. Flores is up there. Pete Carroll is up there. Mike Tomlin. There's a handful. But Flores certainly looks like the best young defensive coordinator. Unraveled Goff. Mahomes had multiple picks. That was a good loss. Mac Jones, pretty good. That's a pretty good. Now, again, I've said before, low ceiling, whatever. But you start looking at that. I said Mac outplayed Tua. Tua won. Mac outplayed Tua. So pretty interesting. Mac Jones had a pretty good, and again, they didn't trade up to get him. He fell to New England. They did need a quarterback. I didn't have a problem drafting Mac Jones. I had a problem San Francisco giving up multiple picks to get him. I don't think he's that kind of talent. That's a pretty good week one. Never played in the NFL. Faced maybe the second, third best defensive coach. Dolphins have unbelievable corners. No picks, one sack. 75% completions. Pretty good. Pretty good. And we'll see Daniel Jones tonight. Daniel Jones has started 26 times in the NFL. So we'll see him against a good defense and a defensive coach. I mean, it's the same thing. So Daniel Jones, you say, well, New England's got a better offensive line. Yeah, but the Giants have better weapons on the perimeter. And they have Saquon Barkley. So New England doesn't have Saquon Barkley. New England doesn't have Kenny Golladay talent. Evan Ingram's out. But Giants wide receiving talent and running back talent is really good. New England's is Yeah. By the way, I will be probably every day for the next 3 months, at least for a minute or two, mentioning something about USC's hunt for a head coach. And I often say this, I weigh topics based on when I go to the car wash or the grocery store, what do people ask me about?
Yeah.
All day yesterday. Last 2 days, Norm McDonald's death and what's USC going to do? So, you know, that the reality is I'm getting now. You say, well, you live in Los Angeles. Yeah, it matters. I'm not going to deny that. But USC's job, it's not Auburn. It's not Tennessee.
This there are a couple other million people that live in Los Angeles, too.
All right, hour two, Greg Cosell next.